Thanks, Sam, for reading for us. I'm now going to be speaking from that passage as well as from other passages in the Bible on the topic of play. As far as what I play is concerned, I actually transitioned from getting a PC to getting a Mac purposely to limit the amount of computer games I play. I recognized that that was actually an issue in my life. I still play the occasional indie computer game. I also have a regular kind of Dungeons & Dragons game that I play online with my friends as well, who are all kind of middle-aged men too. Faith and play, they're not often seen together. We often talk about kind of faith and church and faith and work, but not often play. But the Bible does speak into that a little bit, and that's what we're going to see today. I'm going to pray for us before we get into it, so please join with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do speak into all the areas of our lives, including our play. And Lord, we pray that we may take to heart what you have to say about the things that we enjoy. Please help us to celebrate those parts of our play that you love and to avoid those that you do not love. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, people do not often think that faith and play go hand in hand. In our culture, if you watch movies and TV, it is often the religious people who are depicted as being too preoccupied with the greater and higher things to waste their time in play. The ones who are religious are often the ones trying to stop the fun. They are often the ones saying, this is bad or that is bad and you should not be doing it. In history as well, churches have often been behind the curve in their approval of play. It was only a few decades ago that certain churches were buildings where playing card games and dancing were prohibited. And the picture that this creates of Christians, of religious people in general, is that God is some kind of killjoy, that God is out there to spoil people's fun, and that faith and Christianity is all about what you can't do. It's a list of thou shalt nots. And even in the Bible, you might get that impression as well. You know, if you look up just the word play, you'll see that it doesn't happen very often. In the Bible, play is something that children do. It's something that animals do, but it is not something that mature adults do. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7, it says, when the people of Israel made the golden calf at Mount Sinai, this is peak idolatry in the Bible says, do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Faith and play don't often go hand in hand. That might often be why we feel quite a bit of guilt when we play, maybe. You know, we are not being productive and we feel bad about it. Maybe we feel like we are wasting time and that is a bad thing. And yet in contrast, though, play is such a significant part of who we are as human beings. Play crosses all cultures. Play is not just in Western cultures like ours with a lot of leisure time. Archaeologists have been digging up all sorts of things. They dig up here what is basically gaming supplies dating back thousands of years. You've got bone dice. You've got paintings of people involved in sports. And so sports, games, competition, if you take all those things away, you're actually taking away a very important part of human existence. And so is there a place for play and faith to go together? Well, I think the answer is yes. We're going to see from the Bible that play is the word that we give to simply enjoying God's creation. And I think in that respect, play is different from work. And I think it's even different from rest a little bit as well. I know that real life is not super neat, but I like putting things into diagrams. And so this is how I often think about it. And so you've got work there, which is expending energy that is productive. You've got rest where you're not expending energy, but it's also not really that productive, but it gets your energy back to be productive. But then you've also got play where you are expending energy. You know, you play a sports game, you play a computer game, you feel pretty tired afterwards. But you're expending that energy and it's not productive. I don't know what word you would use to describe not expending energy that is productive. Probably the dream, I guess, is what we all really want, isn't it? But the Bible teaches that it's okay to play. It's okay to give energy to things that are not productive in themselves because God's creation is there to be enjoyed. When I think about my kids, I think one of the things that's always in the forefront of my mind when I think about my relationship with my kids is that I want to give good things to my kids. You know, when my kids ask me for something, I don't always want the answer to be no. You know, there are some times where it has to be no, right? And I don't want to spoil them, but also, right, I want to give good things to them. And so that's why sometimes my answer to them is yes later, or sometimes even just yes when they ask me for things. And it's not just good for them when I give good things to them, it's also good for me. You know, you give your kids a good thing and they enjoy it, that's actually a good feeling for a parent. You know, it's a bit of a case of when they are happy, I'm happy. And it's not just because it keeps them quiet for a little bit. No, we are sharing in joy. Their joy is my joy. And it's even more so when they say, thanks, Dad, which is not very often, admittedly. But if you look at the Bible, God is like that with us. God is our heavenly Father, and he loves to give good things to his children. We see this in the Old Testament. If you look at Psalm 104, verses 14 to 15, the psalmist is talking to God and he says, "You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart." In the New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." And even more, the passage we read, the Bible has some very harsh things to say about people who try and stifle people's joy in God's creation. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. If you forbid the good things that God has given, the Bible says that is the teaching of demons. If you do that, the Bible says you are a liar because you are not telling the truth and your conscience has been seared. You are messed up in your head and in your heart because God is a God who loves to give good things to his children. And that is the truth." You know, God is not our employer, right? He's not our employer in that God demands and expects maximum productivity all the time from us. God is not the God who constantly yells at us for not meeting our key performance indicators that he sets for us. He's not monitoring constantly how long we spend on our bathroom breaks. You know, God doesn't want us examining every single little detail of our lives and trying to squeeze as much value as we can out of it. You know, God doesn't need us to be the kind of person who takes pride in saving $1.24 per year on our hand lotion. You know, the dominant picture of God is not our employer, but our Father, because we are God's family. And as our Father, God gives us things that some people might consider pointless. Some might consider even wasteful. But God gives us those things just to see the smile on our face. And he says to us, "You have fun with that." This is all sorts of things. It's different things for different people. For some people, it might be a sport that they enjoy. For other people, it might be a board game or a video game or going out on a bushwalk or a particular TV show or movie or telling a good joke or going fishing or a particular food or drink or just time with friends or just sitting out on the yard and enjoying the grass. You know, if it is God's good creation and you are taking joy in it, then that is play. And the strange paradox is that even as we think that that is unproductive, it actually is productive. It gives glory and honor to God for the goodness of his creation and God being the giver of good things. And it points to heaven the time when we will enjoy God's creation fully. The Bible teaches that God's creation is there for us to enjoy. But not all play gives glory to God. Not all enjoyment of God's creation gives glory to God. And I think some of these aspects are obvious. So we hear about them a lot in our church. And so firstly, we can take joy in the wrong things. And so because we still sin, our sin twists God's good creation into things that we were never meant to enjoy. There are some horrible things out there in the world, and people who enjoy them, they're not right. You know, it's a little bit sick to enjoy them. We can have joy in the wrong context as well. We can enjoy things outside of the boundaries that God has made them for. For example, sex outside of marriage. We can take the gift without the giver. We can take the kingdom without the king. We take the good things that God gives, but give no credit to God. That kind of thanklessness in our enjoyment of God's creation is a distortion of the way we were meant to play. We see a lot of these things a lot of the time. You know, these kind of things are always before our eyes. But I also want to point out two other distortions that I see in our culture. And so the first one is becoming slaves to our play. The Bible says that we are meant to be slaves to no one except to Jesus Christ. And the Bible warns us against being enslaved by things in this world. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 says, "For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved." 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul says, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I myself should be disqualified." Literally there, that last verse means, I am tough on myself. I make my body my slave. I am the one who is in control, not my instincts and not my desires. Our bodies are not meant to control us. We are meant to control our bodies. When a Christian does something wrong, they never get to say, "I couldn't help myself." God gives us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. We are able to please God. We're not saying it's easy, but we are saying it is possible. We always have everything we need to stop doing what is evil and to do what is good. And because we have that Holy Spirit, that is why it goes against our nature to be enslaved by things in the world. Now, we see this in addictions, people who are addicted to gaming or social media or to alcohol and other drugs. People who feel like they need these things, they can't live without them. Often this is the case because people are looking for something in these things that they should be getting from God instead. And we make all sorts of excuses for the addictions in our lives as well, don't we? You know, we say things like, "I can quit whenever I want." Well, if that's the case, then why don't you quit? Or we might say things like, "This is who I am," and to deny us that would be a denial of our identity. That is not true, right? That is not our identity. We are not defined by our temptations. We are defined by Jesus Christ. And so we are meant to be masters of our play. And I don't mean by that getting high scores and trophies and that kind of thing. It means that when our play masters us, it becomes a sin to play it. We are the ones who are meant to be in control. We are not to become slaves to our play. And then I think kind of maybe on the other side in our culture, we've got to warn against judgment and play. I think some people can have a very smug, self-righteous attitude when it comes to things that other people enjoy. Maybe they see it as an excuse to show their superiority because they enjoy things that are maybe higher in culture or kind of better than other things. You know, you've seen that movie that came out last week, have you? Well, I saw the original version that came out in 1979. You saw the 1979 rendition. I read the book that inspired the movie. Oh, you read that book, did you? Well, I wrote the book that you read. You know, there's a kind of self-righteousness in that, isn't there? And there's a self-righteousness as well from people who disdain a play of all kinds. You know, people who put across the impression of themselves as just such hard workers that they have no time for play, and that people who play are somehow inferior. Remember the 1 Timothy 4 passage that we read? It is demons that tell people that enjoyment is forbidden. It is demons that are anti-fun. Play should not be an idol. It should not be all of life, but there is a place for it. And people who play are enjoying a little section of God's creation. Why can't we be happy for them? Because God doesn't love and value people for their productivity, not even their productivity for his kingdom. God simply loves and values people. And that should caution us against being judges of people's play. Finally, a few encouragements based on where I think our church is at. So I think kind of some of the things that I reckon are common to us. Firstly, do not be too busy to play. Don Carson, in the book A Call to Spiritual Reformation, he writes, if you are too busy to pray, you are too busy. He's trying to talk about the importance of prayer in the Christian life, the importance of a relationship with God. But I think it's also true, but in a much, much lesser sense, if you're too busy to play, you are also probably too busy. If you have no time to enjoy God's creation, if you have no time to receive God's good gifts with thanksgiving and give praise and thanks to God for the things that he gives you, I think something important is missing from your life if you can't do that. I think as well, your play is a useful indicator that you have space in your life. You have reserve. You have enough spare, for example, to be able to help people in need. Play is the kind of thing that is meant to be dropped when more important things come along. Opportunities to help others, opportunities for compassion, even opportunities for the gospel. You know the parable of the Good Samaritan, where it was the priest and the Levite who walked on by and did not help because they had more important things to do. Now, if we have nothing in reserve to be able to help people, that's probably an indication that something is wrong with our lives. That's a very consistent truth of the Bible, that if you're the kind of person who can't help, then you need help. And so do not be too busy to play. I think second thing is remember the gift and the giver. The things that we enjoy in this world are a gift from God, and it is right for us to thank him for them. How many of the Psalms are Psalms of thankfulness to God for the blessings of his creation? This kind of attitude should not feel foreign to us. These songs are songs that should come naturally to us as well. We should be naturally praising God and thanking God for all the good things that we see around us. But often we don't thank God, do we? Maybe because we forget about him in our lives, or maybe because we're so engrossed in the creation, in the gift, that we forget the giver. But maybe also there are times when we do not thank God because we don't honestly feel like God can be thanked for something. You know, maybe there's bad stuff in it, or maybe kind of we don't fully enjoy it. But maybe if that's the case, and if we can't honestly thank God for it, maybe also that's a sign that we shouldn't be doing it. Now, God wants us to cultivate in ourselves a thankfulness for God's creation, not just an enjoyment of it, but a recognition and a glory to the ones who's given it. And so faith and play might seem like strange bedfellows, but I think it's not so strange once you understand how God, the world, and us all relate to each other. Our God is a loving God. His creation is given to us to enjoy. And God is delighted and glorified when we enjoy his creation with thanksgiving. And so can I encourage you to enjoy that creation? Not as a slave of his creation, not as an addict, and not as a judge of others in his creation, but like a child receiving gifts from the Heavenly Father, remembering both the gift and the giver who gave it. Let's pray. I was consciously monitoring myself this whole time to make sure I did not say play when I should have said pray, and that time I did it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for the goodness of your creation. We thank you that everything given by you is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. And so, Lord, we pray that as your people, we may have time to enjoy your creation. We pray that that may be a part of our Christian lives, that recognition of the goodness of all that is around us, and recognizing that you, as our good God, have given that to us. And Lord, we pray that we may abound in thankfulness and glory to you for what you have given. Lord, we pray also, though, that we may not forget you in this. Please help us not to be so engrossed in the things of this creation that we ignore you. Please help us naturally to burst out in praise because of the good things you have given. And Lord, we pray also that you may guard us against the distortions of play. Please help us not to judge others for their play. Please help us not to distort those good things in our sin, but to enjoy the good things you have given as they were meant to be used and as they were meant to be enjoyed. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.